This tape is a production of All Roads Ministry. I'm Vin Lewis, founder and president of All Road Ministry. This particular tape is On the Air, tape 17. It is, in essence, a live recording of a conversation, or shall we say a presentation, which I gave on a program called Catholic Radio, which is run by a gentleman named Richard Bootsy out of Syracuse, New York. Richard asked me, before the program went on, essentially to give an address. He asked me if I ever had a talk that I never gave, and briefly, although I think I mentioned this on the program, this talk was written for another Catholic to address a conference. He said that he would read it word for word and then decided not to because it was too strong. It's entitled, Why Most Catholics Go to Hell, and it is designed, intended to motivate you to understand better why that applies to you also. That's really about all you need. The program also includes some other, shall we say, extraneous matters, but I include them anyway for your interest in entertainment. With that in mind, let's get on with the program, and I hope you enjoy it. Thank you.
Syracuse or WVOA-FM 105.1 to Ryder, Syracuse, with a translator, W243-AV, licensed to Westvale at 96.5 Syracuse.
Please stay tuned for Catholic Radio.
There will be no dawn or sunset for this child to see. For today, his short existence will have ceased to be. Unborn, unknown, undefended. For it has been decided that his life should be ended. But in my dreams, I can hear him say, Please let me live. Please, let me stay. Maybe I'll have eyes of blue and hair of gold so softly curled. Maybe I could look like you. Please let me see this great big world. Maybe I'm a little boy.
As you're enjoying the song Let Me Live by David Park, please keep in your prayers Smith Chamberlain and the homeschoolers at prayer vigil in front of that dirty brown house, 1120 East Genesee Street, where Jesus Christ's innocent unborn children are mutilated and murdered, and their precious innocent blood flows into the sewer system under your feet and under your roadway.
Be there with you when sorrow comes. Please let me live to cry with you. Could be a key to save the world from greater sin. Do you think I'm just a friend to die for you? Is this the end? Slowly beats this heart of mine. Be sure we meet somewhere, sometime. Thought perhaps you'd say hello. I know you'd never let me go. Please let me live to share with you. Be there.
Welcome to Catholic Radio, everybody. This is your host, Richard Bucci. Fasten your seatbelts. Adjust the shoulder harnesses. Put on the crash helmets. Against the advice of many people smarter than I have invited to the Catholic Radio microphone, again, Vince Lewis. Vinny, how are you?
I'm fine, and I hope things are well with you also.
Listen, no complaints.
Good.
You know, it's exciting out here in the front lines.
I realize that.
And we keep moving because a moving target's harder to hit. You know how that goes.
I've heard that cliche.
Vince.
Yes.
I found out that you wrote a paper for somebody. Somebody asked you to write a paper. And the title of the paper was Why Most Catholics Go to Hell. Now, if I if I say anything incorrect here, please correct me quickly. I understand that somebody asked you to write a paper for them on this subject so that they could give the talk. Is that true?
That's correct. It's actually a speech, and it was supposed to be given at a conference out on the West Coast by what we call an establishment Catholic organization, one of those things where all those white-haired white women about 50 years old all get together and cluck over how bad things are in the church and then go home and do nothing about it.
All right.
And what I did was, this guy told me he wanted essentially something tough. I wrote it for him. He has a backbone of steel, a stomach of granite, great courage. He looked at it and said there was no way he could read it and did not. I think he took about two words from it. I will repeat what you said, and I will sort of warn anybody who's listening now. If you're offended by the truth, turn the radio off now.
Amen.
Don't call Richard later and say you were offended by this. You will be offended by it, I guarantee it. But you will be offended by it for one reason and one reason alone. It is true. You'll be offended for the same reason the Jews were offended by Jeremiah and Isaiah and Elijah. This is going to bother you a great deal. I hope it does.
Now, I'd like to say before you start that I have not heard this. So I'm hearing this for the first time also.
Right.
In other words, we did not screen it.
No. Otherwise, you wouldn't have put it on.
Well, listen, you gotta trust a guy that's half Sicilian and half Irish and who served with honor in Vietnam. And that's Vin Lewis. Go ahead, my friend.
Well, the only thing I should tell you grammatically is, once again, I wrote this talk for someone else, so when I refer to myself in it, it's by a third person. So if you can, think of this as someone else reading a talk written by me.
Okay, go for it.
There it goes. Why Most Catholics Go to Hell. The official title of my talk is Why Most Catholics Go to Hell. It has two subtitles. One is The Kind of Man, or Mankind, and The Danger of Abstraction. Let me shift the subject in the very beginning to a related issue. Let me say that I believe that most Catholics do not go to hell, while most Catholics go to hell. By this I mean that a Catholic is not what... In other words, there are two types of Catholics. There's the real ones and the formal ones. The real ones, most of them, go to heaven. The formal ones, almost without exception, go to hell. I could talk in terms that would lead you to believe that I'm referring to someone else. That would be a dangerous abstraction, so allow me to make this clear. What I say today, I mean for you. Most Catholics go to hell, and most of you listening to me will go to hell. I say this with assurance for several reasons. The primary one is this. You are not listening to me by coincidence. I am not speaking by coincidence. I understood what topic was going to be presented when I was asked. I have faith in God that if you do not belong to the group that should be listening to this talk, that is, if it did not apply to each one of you, then God would have arranged things so you would not be listening to me now. But you are, so pay attention. This applies to you. One introductory remark of paramount importance. My talk is about why you go to hell. It is not about why you almost make it into heaven. I'm not here to tell you what you do, which is right. One mortal sin puts you in hell, and then your good works, prayer, and pious practices are gone. But keep this in mind. I deal with a specific fatal disease, not the otherwise good health of the patient. I am addressing you as formal Catholics, as you understand the word. I am addressing you as people who are on their way to hell. For unless this is a very, very unusual audience of people of this type, that is the formal Catholics, the overwhelming majority of you are definitely going to hell, whether you make it there or not is of interest to me. So let me invite you to become a real Catholic. Let me ask you to abandon your most fondly held religious beliefs and become a member of the Church of Rome. To do this, you will have to repent and reform and become the kind of man which God intended for mankind. You will have to recognize the danger of abstraction and be wary of it. You will have to let charity become something real to you. And I can just about guarantee that the vast majority of you will ignore my warnings and wind up in hell after happily and willingly and vigorously rejecting Christ and his demands on you. However, I do not want to join you. This is why I address you today in these terms. If I fail to warn you, then, no matter what else I do, I have no charity within me. And this means that I am nothing. I want to be something. I want to be someone in the kingdom of God. I want to be saved. I want to be among the elect as I have been called to be. And I want the same for you. And as all Catholics know, only Catholics get into heaven. So I want you to become one and leave the current church in which you find yourself. This means that you should, must, stop being a holy sacrifice of the mass going Protestant. But this is what you are. You must stop being a rosary-saying Protestant. You must stop being a going-to-confession Protestant. It isn't doing you any good if you aren't examining your conscience. And you aren't because you are not confessing some big sins. And I'll get to that in a moment. You have to become a Catholic like I am, and like you are not. Not yet, at least. This is what you need to become. To become anything, to achieve any status, there are two aspects, the affirmative and the negative. By this I mean that to become a certified licensed medical doctor, you need to undergo a specific course of study and meet certain qualifications. This is an affirmative aspect. To become a sober person, if you had been a drunk, all you need to do is to stop drinking. This is a negative aspect. You probably have the affirmative aspects all in order to become a Catholic. You probably accept the real presence, the efficacy of the sacraments. You probably nominally honor the Blessed Mother. I'll explain later why you really don't, even though you think you do. You probably accept saint stories. You probably, most, but not all of you, accept the dogma of no salvation outside the church. I probably do not have to force these truths into your minds and hearts. You probably admit to being a sinner and admit sins in the confessional. But as you do not admit the sins which will put you in hell, this act of confession will not save you. I classify these sins under the concept of abstraction. You manage to abstract these sins out of existence. These sins may be recognized as combinations of other sins, but they are only variations and repetitions of the original sin. It is a sin which you hide from your conscience only by making it an abstraction. What is abstract, you reason, not real. And if it is not real, you reason, then there is no need for repentance. But hell is real, and you will wind up there because of this, if you do not deal with it. Let me approach the matter in an indirect approach. Let me do so in a way which, if I have not already done so, I am certain will gain your attention. I accuse you of being both homosexual and pro-abortion. And these types go to hell, lest they repent, reform, and stop being what they were. As St. Paul says, such were some of you. What is the behavior of the homosexual? Why is it so utterly wrong? It is because it pretends to be something it is not. The homosexual act requires a man and at least one to behave like a woman. The homosexual act can produce no new human beings. And producing the right kind of man or mankind is our goal. That is the goal of a real Catholic, such as I am. It is our prime directive. Please remember this phrase, as I will return to it. What is the behavior of the pro-abortionist, and why is it so utterly wrong? It is wrong because by it, a person decides it would be better that another person never be born. I do not know if all those who advocate abortion do so for superficially good reasons, but this is probably why you, your formal Catholics, do advocate it. The pro-abortionist, quote, plays God, unquote. He decides that because a person is going to be handicapped or deformed or female or is not going to grow up in a well-adjusted median income white middle-class suburb, then he should be not born at all. Usually the pro-abortion argues that, quote, in a perfect world, every child would be a wanted child. Every child would fit into his world and have loving parents, unquote. But as you fellow pro-abortionists know, the argument is that, as this is not the case, abortion is a necessary evil. Two pro-abortionists argue that prudent decisions should be made by people already alive as to whether those already alive should be born or denied this privilege of being born. Please note a few points and remember them. You pro-abortionists consider birth a privilege and not right. Another point about the pro-abortion mentality, that is to say, your mentality. It sees increased population as a problem. It sees more mouths to feed rather than more hands to grow food. It sees problems caused by people rather than problems solved by people who are today newborn babes. This in mind also, for when I present my evidence for your guilt, then you will know why you must plead guilty to the charge. While you are dismissing these charges in your mind, let me bring up another one. You are cafeteria Catholics. This is to say, Protestants on your way to hell. A cafeteria Catholic, as I believe you know, is he who chooses among the menu of Catholicism and picks what he wants and disregards the rest. This is why you people, along with most Catholics, are going to hell. You are homosexual, pro-abortionist, cafeteria Catholics, abstractly. Though abstractly, up until now, you may have failed to notice it. But God put you all listening to me for a reason. And the reason was, listen to me warn you of your doom. From this day forth, you will never be able to say, but no one ever told me. If I have failed to obtain your attention by now, then I don't know what else I can do. With that in mind, please continue with me while I lay the foundation of my charges. And to do this, I go back to basics. Why are you alive? The answer is, of course, get to heaven, to be made worthy of the promises of Christ. This is simple, isn't it? Now let me abstract it a bit. I did not say that abstraction was an inherent evil. I simply said that it is dangerous. Now let me ask you, what is the purpose of mankind? Mankind is a different concept from man. The purpose, in the sense of a goal, of the individual salmon, the fish, is, for most of his life, to eat enough, to swim fast enough, to avoid being eaten. But the purpose of salmon kind is to reproduce its kind and keep salmon existing into the future. We all know that the sin of Adam caused the rest of us to be conceived in sin, except for our Lord and the Blessed Mother. Adam was a whole lot more than simply a representative of men. He was, in a very real sense, mankind. When he fell, we all fell. When he sinned, mankind sinned. What was Adam's prime directive? I used this term before. It is from that eternally popular TV show, Star Trek. This pretentious, silly show pretended to deal with serious moral issues. The prime directive of the Trekkers was to observe new creatures and their world, to explore and to learn, but not to interfere. Of course, they always did interfere, for the show needed plots. Nevertheless, their goal was to record infinite information. How nobly abstract, how truly sterile. Adam's prime directive was, and it's right there in Genesis, it's very concrete, fill the earth, increase and multiply. This prime directive was so important, so essential, so paramount, that for a time the laws against incest were, quote, relaxed, unquote. The children of Adam married with the children of Adam so that mankind could increase and multiply. Adam as man had specific tasks, naming animals, not eating certain fruit. Adam as mankind had a different prime directive: increase the number of humans in the world. Cain sinned because, among other things, he decreased the numbers of humans in the world. Onan was killed justly because, when given the opportunity to increase the number of humans, he chose not to. It was one of the first commandments given to Moses: thou shalt not kill humans. After the flood, when God established a covenant with Noah, it had essentially one element: no murder. As individual men, your goal is to save your soul, that is, to die well enough to get into heaven. As parts of mankind, your purpose is to increase the size of mankind, that is, to live reproductively. But wait a minute. Onan was killed by God, which decreased the number of humans. And the same commandments given to Moses command that the death penalty be executed. And the covenant of Noah required capital punishment. And poor old Uzzah, was simply killed because he did not want the Ark of the Covenant to fall over. How do we reconcile these apparently conflicting values? They are conflicting only because they are, as yet, abstracted to too high a degree. This is why too much abstraction can be dangerous. So let's make it less abstract and more concrete. What is wanted, what is needed, is the right kind of man who compose mankind. We real Catholics are pro-life. We see a value in human life in the abstract and in each concrete individual. However, Jesus himself said about Judas that it would have been better had he never been born. Better than birth? The concrete reality of the abstraction is what we want. The concrete reality is that which is expressed by God's will is the right kind of man for mankind. Let me point out another basic. People come from people. Reproduction means new people from old. This is most definitely a way of producing right kind of people. St. Blanche certainly reproduced the right kind when she gave life to St. Louis. St. Monica definitely did it correctly when she became the mother of St. Augustine. However, Jesus speaks most emphatically about the necessity of being born again. You cannot be born again. You can be born again only after you are born the first time. So the right kind of man for mankind is the twice-born man. I have not forgotten my charges against you. I'm still laying a foundation. In order to do so properly, let me once again go back to the basics. It is the soul, a spiritual thing, which determines where the body, a physical thing, will spend eternity. As Jesus says in the Gospel of St. John, the spirit gives life, the flesh is useless. Excuse me again. The Catholic holds that the more important aspect of life is the spiritual. Both sins and virtues come into existence with the will, not the body. So the more important aspect of any act or value is the spiritual. A man may have sexual relations with his validly married wife, and still it may be a sin because he does it in the spirit of lust. He may never have sex with his neighbor's wife, but if he looks at her in the spirit of lust, it is adultery. For it is the spirit which matters. I hold that the spiritual birth is more important than the physical. Without the physical does not bring salvation. The right kind of man, the right kind of mankind, is the man of the right spirit. Remember that Adam was mankind, and his prime directive is ours also. We inherited not only his sin and its defects, but his obligation: be fruitful and reproduce according to your own kind. And if there are still any doubts about this in your mind, then I tell you to read your Bibles. Perhaps I should say my Bible, as the Bible belongs to Catholics, and I charge that you are not the Catholics who own the Bible. Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed by God because their inhabitants were not the right kind. Jericho's citizens, except for a few traitors, were killed, even infants, both born and unborn, because they were not the right kind. Saul lost the kingship of Israel because he failed to kill everyone, including women and children, in a city. Saul saved the king because he had helped the Israelites. But this was an act of mercy and charity to the wrong kind, and Saul was punished for it. So there you are. You are to reproduce the right kind of man for mankind and to eliminate the wrong kind. This probably sounds a bit like something you might expect from Hitler, doesn't it? Recall Abraham's reaction to God's command for human sacrifice. Ready, Lord. Judge these things in divine terms, not humans. These days, as there are no Catholic governments which still burn heretics, we fulfill our prime directives in a spiritual matter. We Catholics, having been born again of spirit and water, function routinely in the spiritual sphere. We love, conceive, and reproduce on a spiritual level. And I hold that you do not, and you do not, then you are, and if you, and I hold if you do not, and you do not, then you are not Catholics, but pro-abortion homosexuals. How do we kill and reproduce on a spiritual level? Remember what Jesus said about you must die your very self. If you die and still want to be around, then you need to be reborn. Sounds something like confession, doesn't it? You need to die to sin and be remade by repentance and resolution. It also should sound like the first public proclamation made by Jesus. Repent, die, reform, be born. The kingdom of God is here. Of course it sounds like this. This is because this is the basic Christian message. This is how you may recognize the real Catholic doctrine. It should reinforce this basic message. And real Catholics are equally recognizable. We follow the prime directive. Those who do not spend all their time reading so-called Catholic newspapers and attending so-called Catholic conferences, such as this one, know that God's chosen people are both killers and fertile. So much for the foundation. Now let me get on to proof of the charges. Let me focus on the charges and the evidence. What is a homosexual? He is a person who behaves sexually with a person of the same gender, so that no matter what else happens, no child can be conceived. There can be no issue from the rutting of faggots. It is perfectly safe from this point of view. Condoms may break, and pills may fail, but faggots are certain to be safe. No man can conceive, and no woman may conceive without a man, except by a miracle of God. It is the ultimate safe sex. I'm not referring to the diseases which these faggots and dykes give to their lovers. They are safe from the real intended consequences of the act they pretend to carry out, namely children. Let me ask you to recall one of the things I asked you to remember. What is your prime directive? To reproduce. How? One way is from your own bodies. Using this way, you raise your own children to be real Catholics. I congratulate those of you who do this. But did those of you who have done so ever adopt? I do not mean merely taking into your home some orphan or foster kid. I mean, did you ever try to bring a non-Catholic into God's family so that he would learn who his real mother is?
1 minute to break, Vince.
Let's use that as a natural break point. Please turn over to side two where the talk will continue. This is Arm Tape, on the air, tape number 17. Side two continues.
I congratulate those of you who do this. But did those of you who have done so ever adopt? I do not mean merely taking into your home some orphan or foster kid. I mean, did you ever try to bring a non-Catholic into God's family so that he would learn who his real mother is?
1 minute to break, Vince.
If you haven't, then do not claim to be a real Catholic, as real Catholics venerate the mother of us all, and this is done by increasing the number of people who venerate her. Have you ever done this? But even more so, how many of you have given birth to Catholic children, or have nieces, nephews, cousins, parents, uncles, etc., who were raised Catholic but are now away from the faith? and you are not endeavoring to make certain that this second and more important birth keeps its effect. Let's break there. Okay, Rich?
Okay, very good. We're going to take our, we're going to do our station break, whatever is grammatically correct here, and then we're going to take a 2-minute music break, and we'll be back with Vincent Lewis.
You're tuned to Love Radio, WVOA FM 105.1, Director Syracuse, with a translator, W243AB, licensed to Westvale at 96.5 Syracuse, and WSIV AM 1540 East Syracuse.
Welcome back to Catholic Radio. If you're tuning in late, you're listening to Vincent Lewis, the founder of All Roads Ministry, and Vince is reading a talk that someone asked him to prepare. This person asked Ben to prepare this talk so this man who asked Ben to do it could give it at a Catholic function. Well, the man read the talk and he said, Vince, I can't do it. You said he was a man of steel?
Yes.
A solid spine and man of steel.
Absolutely.
All right. Okay, Vince, it's all yours.
I continue. I'm just to refresh your memory, what
right.
I'm dealing is sustaining my charge that most formal Catholics are actually homosexual pro-abortionists.
Good Lord.
All right.
Vince, there's people outside the studio with ropes, but go ahead, continue.
I will pick up again. There'll be a slight overlapping. But even more, how many of you are given birth to Catholic children? Or have nieces, nephews, cousins, parents, uncles, etc., who were raised Catholic, but are now away from the faith, and you are not endeavoring to make certain that this second and most important birth keeps its effect? Have you people in your own family, or among your friends, or among the friends of your family, or among the families of your friends who have fallen away from the faith? Let me answer the question for you. All of you have in your lives. All of you have them in your lives. These people are the wrong kind of man for mankind. And I am certain that you would say you have, quote, loving relationships, unquote, with them. You care about them, but this so-called love is sterile and perverted. It is not love. It is the love between the same kind within a general classification. It is not the love between man and woman, which is between different kinds. That kind of love produces children and or changes the lovers and or produces passion and affection and families and the consummation of the sacrament of marriage. No, this is not your love. Your love is the type of the homosexual. The homosexual wants all types of expression of love tolerated and approved. They do not oppose heterosexual love. But they want the same rights for themselves. They are pro-choice. on sex. I do not care what you do in the privacy of your bedroom, so do not concern yourself with mine. This is their attitude. It is yours, too. It is yours because you do not want to kill off the type of personality, that type of personality, and replace it with the right kind of man for mankind. The state won't notice this murder or the replacement of the wrong kind with the right kind. The man will still have the same driver's license and the same social security number. His fingerprints won't change. However, the old self, on its way to hell, will die to its very self and be born again. The real love leads to real birth and real reproduction. Look at this place, this room. Look at where you are. Look at every conference you have ever attended. Look at your congregation at the church where you attend services. It is a place where large numbers of people come together to have casual contact with others, sharing the same point of view, the same lifestyle, to remain essentially anonymous to each other and reinforce their own personality traits. More than this, they come together to reassure themselves that the world is against them, that persecution is always around the corner from the establishment. They also come together to affirm their identities as something distinct from the world, and of course, rather than reform and change, the meetings are designed to solidify their previous behavior. What I have described is a congregation of Catholics. What I have described is a bathhouse patronized by homosexuals. There's no difference. This meeting and the conferences sponsored by establishment Catholic organizations are nothing more than homosexual bathhouses. You come to them, you like-minded people, you lazily indifferent nominal Catholics, to reinforce each other's paranoia. No one is going to persecute you. You do not have the one thing which brings about persecution. Jews are hated for lots of reasons, but they were never persecuted for religious belief, for religious reasons, by the Romans. The Jew refused to offer sacrifice to the emperors of God, to the emperors as gods. So did the Catholic. Yet the Catholic went to the lions while the Jew was allowed to worship as he chose. Why? The Catholic tried to reproduce in large numbers. The Catholic tried to fill the world with Catholic people, while the Jew did not. It is only the fertile who are dangerous. You people are not dangerous. You are safe and sterile. Like the Jews, you practice safe religion. Like the fags, you arrange these meetings, these conferences, these services, so that they should be safe and anonymous. You shake hands and greet one another, but nothing comes from it. Ask yourself this. Could you turn to a total stranger next to you at the next conference, at the next religious service you attend, and ask for half of his money because you are behind in your mortgage? How about this? Dare you offer half of your savings to the guy next to you? Dare you ask if he needs that money? Of course you will not. This is what Catholics do. It would require that you develop a relationship with the guy next to you. It would require that you find out if he really needs the money or if he is a liar. This requires effort and commitment and charity. Homosexuals do not like effort and commitment. Heck, if this is what they wanted, they would go after women. They're more attractive than men anyway. If you really cared about reproducing Catholics, then you would have given out your home phone number to others at conferences and at religious services. And you would have said, call me. Call any time. Have your son call me, and I will try to talk him back into the faith. Call any time. Collect if necessary, and I'll help you answer questions for your wife, who is now a Jehovah's Witness. Or help me, brother. My mother won't attend the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass anymore. What can I do? Have you ever heard any such thing said at a Catholic conference or at the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, before or after? Of course not. Now try to deny the fact that you are homosexuals, fags of the worst kind, spiritual homosexuals. You make sure that no real Catholic is born again. St. James tells us that to merely say, keep warm and well fed, is not going to feed people. Words without action is like faith without works. Dead. You are like people eating at a cafeteria. In such places, you remain anonymous to the person with whom you share a table. Be polite, smile, etc. But please, no personal contact. You are cafeteria Catholics. I have been dealing with evangelism. This is our prime directive, to make Catholics. This is why you are pro-abortion also. Let me tell you what went through your minds when it dawned on you that this is what I am talking about. It was one, if not both, of the following. Number one, ah, yes, evangelism. It is important. I hope that this pompous ass who's speaking realizes that I evangelize all the time by my life and my devotions. Ask anyone can see that I am a Catholic, and they are free to ask me questions at any time. Or, number two, evangelism is an important issue, but first things first. If I actually invited someone into the church, or even to go to the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, or talk to a priest, where could I take him? As soon as we reform, by getting back the Latin Mass, or statues, or altar rails, or Gregorian chants, or better bishops, or nuns with habits, or cars with running boards, then I will be quite happy to try to bring others in. I hope that you see the basic philosophical similarity here. Let me rephrase response number one. Of course life is important. I personally favor live births. And if anyone asked me, I would advise them not to have an abortion. And I show this by my life, how I feel. So if I really do not have to do any, I do not have to do anything about these continuing murders, do I? It's called a live and let live attitude. It should be called live and let die. It's exactly the same as what I described in your attitude towards evangelism. To say you evangelize by your life is to say that you oppose abortion by not killing your own children. That's garbage. Let me rephrase number two, the one about reforming the church first. I hope that in the future we will develop a society in which abortions do not take place. I hope that we have enough education, or better family support systems, or more sex education, or more access to contraceptives, or women who will have better self-images, or cars with running boards. Then we could prevent abortion by preventing its cause. But for now, well, there are women who would simply not have more children and would kill them. That is exactly the same as what you've said, and I know you've thought it. And if you have not broken your back trying to bring someone into the church, then you are saying that one of these women who simply should have no more children is Our Lady, the Blessed Mother of us all. If that isn't a pro-abortion mentality, attacking the nature of Catholicism, I don't know what is. And I tell you, I know it is. So far, my proof requires the fact that your mental state of mind agree with the charges and may allow you to wiggle out of a self-conviction. You may say, well, actually, he is right about the others, but I am different. Are you? You are not fulfilling your prime directives. If you are concerned about the priest shortage, what do? Pray? Oh, yes, I'm sure you do that. But is it not self-evident to you that if you increase the number of males who could be priests, then we would have more priests? So increase the number of Catholic males. But this requires effort and praying, or going to get another conference like this is much easier than that effort. And going to get another conference and merely listening to another radio show makes you feel homosexual-like, that you are doing something for the cause. I have finished my charge. You stand judged and convicted. But if I left you now, then I would be the same as all the other speakers in such conferences and all the other pompous asses who speak on radio stations. I would detail a problem and then let you walk off clucking like hens while you go off to lunch. This would be too abstract. So let me make it so concrete that when you stand in front of the judgment seat, you won't be able to say, no one ever told me where to go. And let me tell you another reason why I cannot end with merely cataloging the evils. This is what most faggots do. It reinforces their own masochism. It helps your own sense of paranoia. No, I shall start you on the road to reform. To simply detail the problem would be too abstract. Let me ask you the following questions and raise your hands, mentally at least. if you can answer yes on any of them. How many of you have tried to have Vin Lewis speak somewhere? How many of you have spoken to Vin Lewis? How many of you have heard of him? How many of you have helped him in his efforts? How many of you are helping him now? He can teach you how to become a real Catholic, in so much as he, that is I, can show you how to evangelize. I will take your call at all times of day or night at my house. I have offered to talk to any of your fallen away children. Why aren't you aware of me? Why are you not using me? Why are you not helping me? Why aren't you either my students or my servants? I'm telling you this, I am urging you this, so that you will, God willing, no longer remain cafeteria Catholics. You will no longer remain unknown to me, nor me to you. You are not allowed to reject your obligation to evangelize, nor your obligation to support me and God's work. I demand it. I demand your fellowship. In the beginning, I told you that I would say what I say and leave it to God to prearrange the people who would hear me as the ones who needed to hear what I say. In the same sense, if you did not need to hear what I said, then you would have tried, as you should have, to get me to talk at the last conference. But the administration of these conferences refuses me because they know what I would say. They don't want to hear it. Neither do you. And now for my last bit of evidence as to why you are going to hell. It's because of me again. The guy who I wrote this speech for did not seek me out. I did not seek him out. He sought me. God arranged that the fellow I wrote this speech for would get in touch with me because it was beneficial for both of us, that is, conducive to our salvation, to know each other. If you were on your way to heaven, then you would already know about me, and you would already be helping me, and I would be helping you. And you would be a street evangelist, and you would be reading my writings and listening to my tapes. You would be communicating with me on a personal level. Catholics know one another. God arranges for us to meet and to work together. There are no coincidences if you want to be part of the elect. And if you want to be part of the elect, then deal with the elect and not with the damned. In the fundamentalist churches, they have what they call an altar call. The minister, usually at the end of the services, asks people to come forth if they feel that they have been moved by the talk. They are asked to approach the altar, symbolically leaving their unsaved persons behind. I give you the altar call. Come up to me and ask me for my phone number. Call me. And by the way, if you have any questions, call me. For I can answer them, because God uses me as an instrument, as a prophet of old. And you will understand that I am not of your kind. And you will have to stop being a spiritual homosexual, because we're not of the same kind. Because spiritual homosexuals go to hell. End of speech.
Okay, we're going to take a short music break, and we're going to come back with Vin Lewis.
Thank you.
Welcome back to Catholic Radio. We have on a telephone hookup Vincent Lewis, Mr. Vincent Lewis, the founder of All Roads Ministry. Vincent.
Listen, my name is Vin. I'm not Mr. anything.
Okay. All right, Vin.
You can call me Saint if you want to.
Okay, Saint Vin. I like that. Hey, that would make a good, that would be a good label for a wine. You know, Saint Vin. How do you like that?
I don't care about the wine. I care about the title.
All right, okay. So
that's the only way I'll ever get to heaven and out of purgatory is if I get canonized.
In other words, you're going to have to be martyred, huh?
As long as it's a quick bullet in the head, none of that really torturous stuff, I don't think I'd mind too much.
After today's show, I don't know. But anyway, Ben, I know a lot of our listeners have probably have a lot of questions. And I'd like to have you amplify what you said about the necessity of confession.
Well, what I think I'm building off of, or intending to build off of, is a statement I believe was by St. Teresa of Avila, who made a terrifying statement that most Catholics go to hell because of bad confessions. And I think it's because they don't really examine their conscience, because they don't put the commandments of God first. And the commandments of God are not simply, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain and stuff like that. It means, again, God's activity is one of life reproduction. God's activity is also one of extermination. We're not out there doing the prime directive, which means killing spiritually the bad and replacing them spiritually with the good. We are not doing the creative act that God put us on earth for, and therefore everything else that follows is ridiculous. This is sort of like saying Bill Clinton did something good the other day. Maybe he did, but he's a pro-abortion evil person, and none of the amount of good he does wipes out the fact of his basic evil thrust. Again, the Freemasons might do something good on occasion. The Mohammedans might do something good on occasion. That doesn't ever justify them enough to consider them good in any way whatsoever. So what we have to do is, the primary directive is to make people like us and kill off those who are unlike us in a spiritual sense. You there?
Yes.
I figured you'd ask another question.
I am going to ask another question. One of my complaints, my personal complaints with pro-life organizations is they don't want to talk about the fact that contraception was a precursor to abortion. Why don't we hear more of this from the pulpit? Why don't pro-life outfits get honest and say, and stop putting the cart before the horse?
Because it's exactly what I said during my talk. These people are unwilling to kill their neighbors out of an act of love. They are unwilling to, they say they're pro-life. They say they care about a child being born. And yet they'll be on a picket line with some Assembly of God guy or some some Baptist guy, knowing that this guy is on his way to hell and never even bring up anything to him. Now, let's be reasonable about this, okay? The child who dies in abortion is in the hands of God. He hasn't been baptized, and I can't see any way to get them to heaven. But he can't get into the punishment heart of hell because he hasn't committed a mortal sin either. So in a very real sense, we're concentrating on the wrong people. We should be stopping the mother from going into having the baby killed, but we should be dealing with the other guy on the picket line because he's on his way to hell. The baby isn't, okay? And so the point is, we call ourselves as if Christians or Catholics and call ourselves servants of God when by God's priorities, salvation being more paramount than life by definition, we care more about life than salvation. What many people are, I'll exclude myself from this, is functional atheists. What they are is they're opposing abortion for emotional reasons or intellectual reasons, but not for the true spiritual reason. The real danger of abortion is not that it kills a baby, but that it kills a soul. It makes a soul go into a state of serious sin. It disrupts the relationship between God and man. It's not that the baby dies. I used to always find it bizarre when pro-lifers would use this expression. We saved a life today. We talked this mother out of having an abortion. You don't save a life. All you ever do is prevent a death. And not really prevent it, you delay it. You know what? If you talk a woman out of having an abortion on Monday, that baby's going to die. Maybe Tuesday. Maybe next Tuesday. Maybe a year from now. Maybe 10 years from now. Maybe 72 years from now. But everybody's going to die. That's one of the rules of human behavior. You're going to die. So the point is, what have you done? You haven't saved a life. What you did was delay a death. Is that a good thing? Sure. If you follow it up with the proper spiritual encouragement. How often do these people stop at the doors by Baptists to tell them just accept Jesus and Catholics stand there and be happy? You shouldn't be happy. You should grab that woman and tell her to be convert so she can tell her sins to a priest and have the sin removed from her. And that's the reason we don't bring up contraception. That's the reason Catholics don't bring up contraception, is because they got that wrong orientation, because they haven't made the abortion struggle a spiritual one. Let's be reasonable. It's lost completely. I mean, there's no chance of ever overturning any of the abortion decisions. There's no chance of getting it made illegal. This is an absolutely lost battle. So what are we fighting for? The only reason to fight for is indulgences. So you got a good chance of getting into heaven and get out of purgatory soon. So abortion should be only done so that you can get into heaven, because we can't reverse anything. It's not going to happen.
Ben, I remember someone showed me a full-page ad in the New York Times prior to the Roe versus Wade decisions in 73. This was a full-page ad taken out by Planned Parenthood. And what they were saying, that if Roe versus Wade did not pass, then contraception, birth control devices would be made illegal in the United States. And that's how they sold, one of the ways they sold the country on the Roe versus Wade was by convincing enough people that they would lose their contraceptive toys if Roe versus Wade was not passed. Any comment on that?
Except I don't believe it was true. The reason is that contraception is so much a part of the American culture that there's no way of reversing it. You can do scare tactics, but the point is this. I think people who accept contraception spiritually then, of course, accept child killing. What's the difference? Not much. A difference in degree. But it's the old slippery slope concept. You know, what it is these people, if you accept contraception, if you accept the rejection, or if you reject the pro-life imperative that we have from God to fill the world with the right kind of man for mankind, if you reject that, everything follows. And so, therefore, I think not so much that Roe versus Wade was sold because of this. It is because they accepted contraception that abortion is the next step, and euthanasia is the next step. And I'm not really sure what the next step after that is, okay, because I don't have that good of imagination. But really, the horrors we're in right now, you could blame it specifically on contraception, but that's a symptom. That's not the cause. That's not the disease. The disease is very simple. It is functional atheism, and it is prevalent in ordinary establishment Catholic, as much as it is prevalent among the Baptist, among the Assemblies of God, among the Hindu,